This is Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz, the official luxury automobile of the New York Giants, presented to you right here on MSG Network. I am Courtney Fallon, your host. A devastating loss for the New York Giants as Eagles kicker Jake Elliott kicks a 61-yard field goal with 1 second remaining. Clock expires. They lose to a tough division rival down in Philadelphia as we bring in our hosts, Sean O'Hara, Antrell Roll, Amani Toomer. This one hurt.
Yeah, starting out 0-3, it looked like the Giants were going to be able to pull something out of the hat here, and I just can't believe that they put their defense back out there in this position. They played so good right up to the point. You thought with the penalty they were able to going to get this game into overtime. I think offensively you can't wait until the fourth quarter of a game to all of a sudden come alive. And Giants fans had to sit and wait for 11 quarters to see this offense really come to life. We saw Odell Beckham kind of will this team back into the game, but it ended up being too little too late for the Giants.
Antrell, what was your assessment of the defense in the first half? They did play well, and they kept them in the game for the most part.
The defense played extremely well in the first half, starting off the game, obviously with a sack with Olivier Vernon. The tackling wasn't the best that it could be, throughout the course of the first half, but they still were able to keep contained on the Philadelphia Eagles. I want to see more turnovers, obviously, on defense side of the ball. But like I said, I think they still came together collectively as a unit and were able to keep the Eagles and hold them with 7 points in the first half.
The Giants are 0-3, and that's where they are. But they looked better today. Yep. They played better in the fourth quarter. Their offense started to come around. I know it's doom and gloom because they are 0-3, 0-2 in the division. But I just like the fact that they're playing like the team that we expected them to play all year long. So I see the silver lining in this game. I like to see where they go from here. This is going to be a test. How good of a coach is Ben McAdoo? Can he rally the troops together and force and keep this team? No finger pointing in the locker room. That's what I'm looking for. But I like the way they played. I like the way they came back in the fourth quarter and showed a little grit.
21 unanswered in the fourth quarter, as you mentioned. Sean, my question to you. This offense looked a lot better on paper. Eli Manning getting the time to throw the ball outside of the pocket, but that run game just crushed them, especially in the first half.
The run game looks so different with Orleans Darkwa in their running back. He gets vertical. He's physical. I think they need to find a way to get him the football more, and here we're seeing some of the run statistics. This is just from the first half. It was not going very well, and you know what? Fletcher Cox was a difference maker. I thought not having him on the field for the Eagles in the second half really opened up things for the Giants' run game. But the running backs kind of got into a rhythm in the second half, and I think part of it, too, was the Giants' offensive line played pretty well today. And for the rough week that they had, the awful start in the first two games, Eli had been sacked 8 times coming into this contest, and they kept them clean for the most part of the game. Eric Flowers had a good game. He had a penalty late there at the end of the game with the holding penalty. Justin Pugh moving over to tackle. The Eagles have some really good rushers. Brandon Graham, he's a game wrecker. I thought they did a good job of protecting Eli, giving him time, and they kind of wore down that Eagles defense a little bit. The run game, I think if this game had gone into overtime, the way the Giants offense was playing, I don't have any doubt they were going to go down and score.
Yeah, I think John Jerry's holding the defender from getting off the field was a huge play. They were on the road driving there in the fourth quarter, and it looked like they were about to score again and put it up and go up 7. Instead, they had to be forced to go with a field goal. I think that was the play of the game, in my opinion.
Heartbreaking loss for the New York Giants today, losing on a last-second field goal, 27-24. We got to talk about Eli Manning getting more time in the pocket. The offense and the wide receivers really came alive today, especially Brandon Marshall.
Well, I think when you give Eli or any quarterback time, they're gonna find a rhythm. They're going to be more comfortable. And I think this all started with Odell Beckham. Yeah. Opening up the offense, getting your best playmaker the ball. I think they fed off that guy extremely well. Then you saw Marshall stepping up making catches. Then you saw Shepard with his outstanding big performance play, which obviously put them in the lead in the fourth quarter. Giving Eli time, he is going to be an efficient quarterback. He's very accurate. He's going to be more comfortable in his delivery. it's going to always be open. It's always going to open up more chances for the offense to put more points on the board.
I thought the Giants defense really missed Olivier Vernon right there at the end of the game. He was off with the ankle injury, and they started rushing three guys, and we saw Carson Wentz kind of back there burping the baby a little bit, had a little too much time at the end. As good as this defense played all day, they kept them in the game. They created turnovers. Landon Collins with the forced fumble on Zach Ertz that they turned around and got a touchdown. This defense willed this team back into the game, and I think it's a shame for them to go out there at the end of the game like that and to have it lost on a 61-yard field goal. I mean, kudos to Jake Elliott for that kick and for Carson Wentz to make that throw right before the kick to get them in field goal range. But this is a gut-wrenching loss. I think, to Imani's point, the team looked much better in the fourth quarter, but you can't wait until the end of the game to all of a sudden just turn it on.
We got a lot to dissect here on Giants Post Game Live. When we come right back after the break, Sterling Shepard live at the link with Paul Dottino. Hey, Giants fans, enter for a chance to win an Olympus mirrorless camera kit at Adorama.com/Giants. Adorama, the official electronics retailer of the New York Giants. Plenty more coming up here on Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz. Stay with us. We'll be back right after the break. Welcome back to Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz. Right now, let's head down to Lincoln Financial, where Paul Dottino is standing by with wide receiver Sterling Shepard.
Okay, guys, Sterling, this is about as heartbreaking a finish as you could possibly have. Dropping to 0-3, it's got to be gut-wrenching.
Yeah, man, I mean, that one slipped right through our fingers. I mean, you know, we gave it all we had at the end of that, but it just came up a little bit short, but it's disappointing.
Of course, there was earlier you thought you had a touchdown. The replay took it away. Then you had one that came out when you were out of bounds, but then you came back with a big one later on. Yeah. Crazy day for you.
Yeah, man, I mean, that's one that you wish you would have back. With the new rule, you know, you got to get up with the ball. So, you know, I wish I could have got that one back and done some things differently. But, you know, I tried to flush it down the toilet and just keep on rolling. And, you know, I just wish I could have it back.
You guys have been saying one game at a time at 0-2. Now it's 0-3. Does this become even too big of a mountain right now?
No, we got to turn it around. We still have time. Still early on in the season. We still got time to turn it around. That was a huge step for us.
No. Sterling Shepard, thanks for your time. Okay, guys, back to you.
Thank you for that, Paul. Sterling Shepard, 7 catches, 133 yards. Imani, passing game looked good. Everyone got in today.
It did, and I like the way Ben McAdoo started the offense. Was everybody was touching the ball. First play went to Brandon Marshall. Then you had Evan Ingram. Then you had Shepard. Then you had Odell Beckham. That was how they got every receiver on. They realized that this team is built around its wide receivers, and they need to find a way to get all of them started. And one good way to do that, which is what they did today, was get everybody touches early on to get them involved.
Eli Manning getting rid of the ball pretty quickly, going with the tempo, high tempo, hurry up. To avoid the Eagles' pass rush. Were you happy with that strategy?
Yeah. Going back to the start of the game, I like the fact that they went up-tempo. You know, we had been talking all week long about what were the Giants going to do to fix the offensive struggles. They go up-tempo, try to get a rhythm, try to catch the defense in a little vanilla-type scheme. I like that. Here's the problem. The problem is early on in the game, the Giants don't convert on a 3rd-and-1. They run a toss crack, get out to the perimeter, ends up being a tackle for a loss, so they didn't convert there. They don't convert down on the goal line on 4th and inches. You've got to be able to punch the ball in there. There was no fullback on the field. Those two football situations cost them points and cost them this game, because when you look at that early on in the game, it could have made the difference for this offense and for the defense. So I still feel like offensively they left a lot out there on the field. You know, Brandon Marshall had he kind of came back into the game, kind of became a figure, but there was a couple drops. Evan Ingram had a couple drops. Odell Beckham had a drop early on in the game. They still, early in the game, were not playing up to their potential.
Well, 21 unanswered points in that fourth quarter. It started with Odell Beckham. They came back on consecutive drives. He scores again. What did you like from that sequence, especially from the quarterback, Eli Manning, who had a near-perfect passer rating in that final?
I like the way they, like Antrell Roll said, when you go to your best playmaker, that's kind of how this offense is set up. Give the playmakers the ball and have them start performing like they're supposed to. Mm-hmm. One of the things that we didn't talk about in that fourth quarter was one thing that Orleans Darkwar got a few runs out there, and that kind of opened things up as well, because when the Giants have that run pass option, it makes it easier for the offensive line, makes it easier for Eli. So I think that was one of the impetuses that got the whole offense in the fourth quarter started.
Well, I think it's exactly that. When you have a run pass option, you're going to keep the defense honest. They're no longer going to bring that extra safety into the box. Now they have to respect the run as well as the pass. Obviously, it opened things up for Marshall, Sterling Shepard, for Odell to do what they do best, which is make electrifying catch, and more importantly, see their run after the catch. Allow Eli to get comfortable, obviously, in his throws, or Lings Dockwar. It doesn't have to be a home run hitter. Just keep the defense honest, and he did a great job of doing that today.
Well, the good news is that the Giants scored over 20 points for the first time in 8 games. They only had 13 over the first 2 weeks, so there's certainly something to build off of. All right, we have a lot more to discuss here on Giants Postgame Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz. Coming up right after the break, we get to more from Lincoln Financial. But first, guests of our postgame show received a gift certificate to Ben & Jack's, located on 5th Avenue and 28th Street in Manhattan. From the celebrated porterhouse to the finest seafood, Ben & Jack's will surprise, surpass your expectations of what a steakhouse should be. Stay with us on Giants Postgame Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz. Welcome back to Giants Postgame Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz on MSG Network. Right now, let's head back down to the link where Paul Dottino and Howard Cross are standing by as we pull them up right there. Hey, guys. It was a very, very hot day out there today.
Well,
88 degrees, a kickoff more like 100 degrees. What was it like, the real-time feel, standing on the sidelines of there today?
Well, I'll tell you what, Courtney. It was before the game when Howard Cross actually told me he was going to run inside to get an IV. That's how hot it was. Only twice during Giants training camp did temperatures in Bergen County reach 90 degrees, and they were about the mid-80s or then to the mid-90s by the time this game reached the fourth quarter. Howard, do you think that had anything to do with this defensive collapse in the final period?
I don't know about defensive collapse and anything, but I tell you what, it was really hot. I think on the field itself, I think it was 105, 106 degrees. So it was warm.
Yeah, that heat index, they have that blend of artificial and real grass on this surface, and that does reflect a lot of heat. Okay, Howard, let's talk about what we saw from the sideline. The Giants offense, again, trouble getting that running game going, but Eli Manning did not get sacked once, and he certainly had that passing game going in the second half.
Well, think about this. You know, what they did was they changed the way they were running the offense a little bit. I know everybody thinks about they're moving the ball around, doing everything. They actually went to almost a two-minute kind of speed of offense, almost hurry up. It kept the team on the field. You couldn't do a lot of substitutions. You couldn't bring guys in. You can spread the ball around. It helps with the tempo of the game. An up-tempo offense is what they played most of the time, and that changed the flow of the game for them.
Okay, let's talk about the defense for 1 second. Now, in the final 6 minutes of the game, they gave up a touchdown and then two field goals, the final one from 61 yards out, that wound up costing them the ball game. They simply could not get the key stop when they needed it.
Well, you know, Olivier Vernon went out of the game, and they went to his side a lot running the ball. Last week, what they put on tape was, you know, start inside and then bounce it wide to try to run the ball. And teams see that. Other teams are going to try that. Now the Giants are going to have to find a way to make an adjustment to hold on to the outside runs, set the edge, and be very aware that teams are going to bounce to the outside, not just try to run the play.
Now, special teams was a double whammy because they didn't get much on the return game. And then, of course, the punt by Brad Wing under 30 yards, the shank, which set up the winning score.
Well, special teams is tough. You know, you got to find a way to get these plays. Fiegels is not here. Wing's going to get it done.
All right, Howard, thank you very much. Weston Richburg, come on in. We appreciate you taking the time after this one. And, you know, you guys did not allow a sack today. So much verbal abuse this offensive line has taken the first couple of weeks. But as many times as Eli threw it, you guys kept him upright.
Yeah, we had to come back and put a better game together. You know, from a unit, I think we did some things better. Still lost the game, so we didn't accomplish the goal that we went out there with.
Yeah, the toughest thing, it seemed to me, is that you guys were able, especially in the second half, to move the ball and do what you wanted to do, but then that one clutch play in the key moment where you needed it, something would always go wrong. And even then, you had the game almost in hand at the end. You had the lead.
Yeah, we had opportunities to get points. We got to put points on the board. You know, we had so many times in the green zone. We should have at least got a field goal to put some points on the board, help our defense. We didn't get that done.
Weston, is there anything you can put your finger on about this running game, which continues to have its troubles? Again, despite passing the ball today, still didn't run it really well.
Yeah, we just got to keep coming to work every week, doing what we do. As an offensive line, we are fortunate because we're always together, so we communicate all the time. It'll be important for us to come out this week, put the work in practice so we can get it on the field.
Now, I know you've only been here a few years, but I would be remiss if I didn't ask you about this Giants-Eagles rivalry. So many fluky things seem to happen, and these games always come down to the final minute. You just never know what is going to happen. Is it gut-wrenching as much as it is for you guys as it is for the fans to watch?
Yeah, I mean, that one hurts, especially with a 85-yard field goal, whatever that was. So, unfortunate.
Weston Richbrook, thank you so much for your time.
Appreciate it.
We will come back with head coach Ben McAdoo in his news conference. You're watching New York Giants postgame live on MSG.
Welcome back to Giants postgame live presented by Mercedes-Benz. A tough one to swallow for the New York Giants, losing 27-24 on a last second field goal, 61 yards by the Eagles. Right now, we got to head back down to Philadelphia, where head coach Ben McAdoo addresses the media.
All right, let's just open it up right away.
What was it like in the last room after the game? What was your message to the team?
A lot of guys are disappointed right now, and rightfully so. The game continues to teach us tough lessons that we have to learn from in a hurry and fix.
In the last drive, you got a guy green out of bounds, stop the clock. You got to keep the play for the Eagles. Is that not the right play there?
Well, if we were right on the sticks on fourth down there, so we had a chance to convert on third down. If we converted there, it would have gave us an opportunity to get in field goal range on one more play. So we still had a chance to win the ball game at that point.
How much did some of the mistakes at the end hurt? Like Jerry holding that guy, the punt, the Flowers penalty. Do they all add up at the end?
Yeah, I mean everything adds up in this league. You know, the more things you can have in your favor by the time the ball game's over, the better chance you have to win. And seven penalties, too many yards. The tempo worked for us as an offense. In the ball game, it helped us, but we had too many formation infractions there that hurt us, and too many penalties, and makes it tough to win that way.
Ben, what did you see on the play with Malcolm Jenkins, the penalty on Odell? Should that have been more harsh? Did you see it around his neck and around his
back? I saw it from a distance. Obviously, I didn't see it up close and personal. I'll have to take a look at the tape.
Were you not allowed to challenge the Shepherd catch that they called no catch in the end zone?
It was in under 2 minutes, correct?
Yeah.
What happened there?
I'm trying to figure out what a touchdown catch is and what isn't a touchdown catch right now. I thought we had a couple opportunities to have touchdowns, but we have to go take a look at the tape, send it in, and get feedback from the league.
What were you told on that it was because he didn't keep the ball on the ground?
Yeah, they said he dropped the ball and he went out of bounds is the information I got.
What happened there? Play where it looks like Shepherd had two or three steps after he caught the ball, and maybe two or three steps out of bounds before he went down and was juggling.
That's what, six steps?
Is that a touchdown in your mind?
Again, I'll have to look at the tape. Like I said, I thought it was a touchdown. I was surprised it wasn't.
What about the Rendon?
But you have to, I mean, you go to the ground, you got to have the ball. You have to get up with the ball.
You have two more plays after that. What happened there? One more play, right?
Yeah. We were close. We thought we may have a chance to just sneak one in there with the back. Didn't work out. Wish I had that one back again.
Jenny, what can you share about your pregame discussions or maybe even last night with your team, you know, regarding the president's comments and just some of the linked arms and a couple guys who dealt? What can you tell us about?
We talked about a pregame and, opened it up that we could stand united as a team. It seems like the message that we're getting from the White House is they're trying to create division. In this league, whether it's with the team or within the league or whatever the case may be, and doing things on an individual basis, maybe playing into their hands. So sticking together as a football team, going back to the message, we practice empathy here. I believe in it, and I'm not sure how much you know, the president can empathize with our players in the way that they grew up. You know, they grew up a lot different than a lot of people. Some tougher than others, but I think empathy is the key message here. Choose understanding over judgment.
Ben, even with the up-tempo to not score in the first half and you couldn't get a tough yard when you needed it, how do you explain just the offensive futility?
Well, we put enough points on the board, I felt, to win today. We fell just short. We had a chance. We had a chance to score more, and we didn't handle the ball well enough to do so. So we left some points out there on the field. We need to go back to work and come up with some more points next week.
And any disappointment in the nature of Odell celebration?
Yeah, I'm gonna have to see what took place there.
Do you have a discipline problem? I mean, the penalties, the touchdowns, the penalties late in the game.
I mean, we don't want to be kicking off from the 20-yard line. That's not smart football. That's part of our problem right now. We're not playing smart enough football.
Did you say anything to Odell? Did you say anything to Odell after that?
No. Keep our personal conversations personal.
Got any concern, you know, with unity being the theme of the day? Because sort of being concerned about your team sticking together now.
No, we have talented men of integrity. Of course, you know, guys, when you get denied something, you're disappointed or things are delayed, you're irritable. And we're all irritable right now, and rightfully so.
Ben, how serious is Vernon's ankle, do you know?
I don't know. I don't know yet.
With regard to the Odell celebration, it looked like he pretended to be a dog going to the bathroom on the field. What is your reaction to the other coach and your players doing that?
Next question.
Ben, you're 0-3 after some of your more prominent players called this a must-win. Are you angry? Are you concerned about the future of this season?
Our first win keeps getting delayed. We're not playing well enough to win as a football team. We're irritable. We need to find a way to win a game. It's not going to get any easier.
What would you have said if someone told you you were going to start the season out there?
Let's get ready for game four. That's what we have to do.
Locker room.
Thank you.
That's the head coach Ben McAdoo talking about missed opportunities, the reason they lost this game 27-24. None more glaring than those two plays that they failed to score on fourth and goal on the half-yard line. Sean, you were a center in the NFL. You go into that play. I know Eli Manning doesn't tend to run the ball a lot, but do you and the quarterback have a setup play there? You're fourth and inches.
Well, Eli's not the most athletic center. You know, if it was Cam Newton, I might say, let's just quarterback sneak it. But I think in that situation, you'd love the fact, as an offensive lineman, that your coach is letting you run the ball. And look, fourth and one, I want to run the ball. I want the coach to trust us enough to do it. And they didn't come through. Now, look, Sterling Shepard had two chances to score there. And, yes, he could have got the ball in the end zone on the first catch and then coming down with it. I mean, you know, as a receiver, you know, like Amani told me before, look, I'm handing the ball to the official after every catch because I don't want any doubt. That's what has to happen down there. I thought it was a missed opportunity for the Giants. You run the ball on fourth and one. Where's the fullback? Where's the fullback you brought in? Let's see the goal line offense. Let's see a little push. That was disappointing. And really, I mean, look, in 2007, our Super Bowl run started because of a goal line stand. The Eagles, it was a goal line stand. And that's a huge momentum for that defense, for them to go in at halftime, knowing that they stopped them.
Amani, were you happy with the play call there at the end of the first half?
Not really, because you can't get caught up in the emotion of we need to have a big chunk play. What you need to do is put points on the board and go into halftime with something better than nothing. The offense, by not scoring on third down, they gave away their opportunity to score a touchdown. They should have kicked the field goal, and that field goal ultimately would have tied the game right now.
A couple of stops on fourth and goal. I mean, what's the problem with this offense on fourth and short?
I think they don't have an identity. You know, just like Sean said, you need to put the fullback in the game. You need to trust your offensive line. And I think Sean nailed it around the head when he said, if you're an offensive coordinator or you're a play caller and you don't instill confidence in your offensive line by saying, look, it's fourth and one, I believe in you guys, let's get it done, then you're taking that away from them, and you're not letting them, you know, kind of grow as a unit. And when you take that away, it's hard to get it back.
Let's talk about that play with Sterling Shepard on third and inches. 2 feet inbounds, 1 foot out of bounds, holding possession, and then losing possession as he hits the ground. Was it a catch? What is a catch in that situation? I know you're not an official here. You're not Mike Pereira or
just like Sean said, you catch Blandino. The ball, you fall down, you give it to the referee, and you remove all doubt. That's the only way because of the how convoluted the rules are with what's a catch, what isn't a catch, just remove all doubt.
You can't let the gray area be decided by the referees.
Well, you take it out of their hands.
Yeah.
In a boxing match, you knock them out. That way, you don't go to the scorecard. Yeah,
exactly.
All right, we got a lot more topics to knock out here on Giants Postgame Live. We will hear from the quarterback Eli Manning coming up after the break. Stay right with us. This is Giants Postgame Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz. Stay with us. We'll be right after the break. Welcome back to Giants Postgame Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz. Right now, let's head back down to Philadelphia, where the quarterback Eli Manning is standing by at the podium.
The way it happened, just kind of the mood swing and the emotion you guys are feeling right now.
Yeah, this one stings, obviously, just because because we did fight back. Went down 14 in the fourth quarter, struggled offensively, didn't finish some drives. Had a couple fourth downs, convert in the green zone, and hit a couple big plays, get a touchdown, get defense, gets a turnover, score again, tie the game, hit Shep on a 70-yarder, take the lead, take the lead again with a field goal, and to kind of have a two-minute drive to go win it, and, have two penalties right there, and then they kick a, 61-yarder. It's tough to take that loss. I'm proud of the way the guys competed. They hung tough, never got down, and rallied back to take the lead a couple of times. So, tough one to swallow.
Is that as shocking a regular season loss as you've ever experienced? Just turn to the.
Yeah, a lot of obviously, tough one just because of. The way we fought back and take the lead and take it a couple of times and the events at the end of the game to lose that way is tough.
0-3 now and now down 2 in the division. Just talk about the task at hand for you guys.
Obviously we got to get our first win, and I think that's the mindset, and got to go on the road again next week into Tampa, and. That's all we can worry about. Get that first win and go from there. But not going to be easy. Nothing's going to be given to us. We got to play better football.
It seems as though you guys have been on a rhythm in the fourth quarter. What happened in terms of the short passing game was going on, or what was going on?
I thought we had pretty good rhythm most of the day. Even the first quarter had opportunities. Just didn't convert on third downs. Had a third and short. Tried to run the ball, didn't get anything. Had another third and six. Just a little off with Odell. Those things we got to convert those situations, especially with Odell and I. We got to hit that. And had a couple other drives where moving the ball had obviously the interception on one, then the other drive in the first half. We drive down there, get to the 1 yard line. A couple close calls. Trying to get the score, but don't get it on fourth down. So, and even in the third quarter, moved the ball well, had a fourth down we didn't convert on in the red zone. So, I thought we did some good things offensively, just didn't finish some drives.
Do you take it the offensive burst in the fourth quarter? You take it as okay, we can do this and we can now sustain it, or do you still think this is a work in progress?
I think we did some good things today offensively. The first three quarters didn't have a whole lot to show it for with the points, just because we just didn't convert on third and manageables and someone very close to the green zone or in the green zone and don't get any points out of it. So you kind of get some touchdowns there or get field goals and turn the ball over and downs, you get enough, it's enough points. So, we got to figure out a way to obviously be more efficient on offense, though.
That was the quarterback, Eli Manning. Hey, Eli today, good numbers, moved the chains, well-balanced attack, 3 touchdowns. He threw the ball 47 times. There was a lot of pressure going into this week talking about Eli Manning and getting this offense started. He silenced some critics today.
He certainly didn't look sloppy. I thought the interception early on was a bad throw. That was probably his worst throw of the game. he was going for Brandon Marshall, and rightfully so. Brandon Marshall was up against a rookie, Rasul Douglas, the corner for Philly, and it was early and often that they were going after that matchup. But I thought Eli really bounced back. The touchdown throw to Sterling Shepard was beautiful. It was a little play action, kind of dumped it in right over the linebacker, right in front of the safety. So he definitely threw some darts. I thought they did miss the second fourth down. We already talked about the fourth down and inches. They didn't get it on the run. But the fourth and two, coach says, hey, look, we're going to be aggressive. We're not taking the field goal here, which I'm sure he wishes he did looking back at the score now. But Eli didn't have enough time. He had Evan Engram open in the end zone, but he just didn't have enough time to get through the progression to make that throw and to make it a play worthwhile. But they didn't lose the game because Eli didn't play well, certainly. But I know he is always going to look in the mirror and say, look, I can make more throws. I can do better.
Well, I think they lost the game clearly because they left points on the board. Obviously, Sterling Shepard had two opportunities to give us 7 points and failed to do so. The fourth and inches, we all know what happened there. And like Armani said, it's better to get three than to get nothing at all. And when you have a situation like that, hindsight is always better than 20/20. But if that situation ever crosses the line again, I'm sure that, you know, there will be a further discussion as to whether to go for it on the fourth and inches or to solidify 3 points.
Let's take a look at a quick graphic. Kamani, I need your input on this. Brandon Marshall, the first two games of the season, he was virtually invisible on this Giants offense. But today, he really made his mark along with the rest of the Giants receivers. 8 catches today, 866 yards. What are your thoughts?
I think that, you know, he got the ball. He got the touches. He got the targets. And for a receiver like him who's used to getting a lot of targets, that's what gets him going. Towards the end of the game, I started seeing a little bit more of the Brandon Marshall. Me and Antro were talking during the game, and we're saying he just doesn't look like the same player that played with the Jets, that played with Miami, that played with Chicago, the dominant factor. And in the fourth quarter, when he caught that ball on one of those drives and he broke a couple tackles, I was like, that's the guy that we're used to seeing. And I think he just needs to get oiled up a little bit, feel comfortable with this offense. But I think one of the areas he really needs to excel is in the red zone, because, you know, the difference in this game to me was the Eagles were 3-for-3 in the red zone. The Giants were 2-for-5. And we got there more. We didn't cash in as much. And that's the difference of the game.
Well, we got to take a quick break here on Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz. When we come back after the break, linebacker Keenan Robinson talks from Philadelphia. Stay with us. Welcome back to Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz. Right now, let's head back down to Lincoln Financial, where Paul Dottino is standing by with linebacker Keenan Robinson.
Okay, guys. Keenan, the last three times the Eagles had the ball, they were able to score a touchdown and 2 field goals. I know that had to be discouraging. What changed in terms of them being able to move the ball after, for such a long time, you guys were holding them?
We're out of our gaps a couple plays. One or two people didn't fit the right hole, right, or just weren't staying, you know, gap integrity. So that's really what it came down to, is a couple of mistakes here and there that led them to drive the ball and score points.
I'm sure when you watch the film, you'll be disappointed that Wentz was able to scramble for a couple of key plays, for sure. And then, of course, they got their running game going, I'm sure, better than you ever anticipated.
Yeah, for sure they did, and that's credit to them. But, you know, on our defensive job, you know, our first priority is to stop the run. We didn't get that done tonight.
Of course, you got the one big turnover, Landon and Eli Apple combining on that. And coach has been saying you got to get as many turnovers as possible. Maybe just not enough this time.
Yeah, we didn't get enough. On the road games, you got to get turnovers. And we didn't help our offense enough. We got one, but we needed more. And honestly, our offense scored enough points today for us to get the W. On defense, we got to show up and make plays, man, especially on the road.
Well, I guess that's my final question for you, because we know the offense has struggled the first couple weeks while you guys were holding the fort. And now this time it seemed as though the defense wound up coming up short.
Yeah.
How frustrating is that, and how demoralizing is that for you guys?
That's very frustrating, man. I mean, we came to this game calling a fight, knew it was going to be a tough game. But, you know, we expect to come out with the victory, and we didn't play well enough on defense to get that done for our team.
Final thing, I know you came off your concussion protocol. It was great to see you back out on the field. How good did it feel for you to at least be able to play?
I felt good, man. It's been a while. I haven't played football since January, so it's been a while, but it was good.
Keenan Robinson, thanks so much for your time.
No problem.
Okay, guys, let's go back to you.
Thank you very much, Paul. Keenan leading the defense with 10 tackles. We got to get to a Eli Apple conversation with Antral Roll. The Eagles, as you mentioned, came right back into this game. A rushing touchdown after they scored 3 unanswered. It was all because of a pass interference penalty on Eli Apple, his second of the game. This time, it was on Torrey Smith, the one before Alshon Jeffrey. Quarterbacks are going to continue to go after Eli Apple.
You're absolutely right. This is a copycat league, and right now it seems to be happening each and every week. The quarterback thought in this process is either going to be a touchdown or it's going to be something almost as good in a pass interference, which is equivalent as getting yards gained. What Eli has to do is he has to be able to lean and locate and know when to turn into the wide receiver. Right now he's being the defensive back the entire time, in which we're taught in the defensive backfield, at some point in time you have to lean, look up, and locate the football and turn into the wide receiver. He has yet to do so, and that's why we keep constantly seeing these pass interference calls against Eli Apple.
Do you think it's going to be a problem going forward in future games?
It's going to be a problem if it doesn't get corrected. It's something that only himself can only work on. He has to be able to not panic. You can't panic in those situations. You have to calm your nerves, understand that this is a game you've been playing for such a long time. Turn around, become a receiver, catch the ball.
I always said the difference between good defensive backs and great defensive backs is the good defensive backs know when they can play, like you were talking about, Antrell, when they can play offense. They can turn around, locate the ball. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that a lot of young corners do is, because in college there's so much liberty with the chicken fighting, with the hands.
Yeah. Right.
They think they can take that over into the NFL, and you can't do that. And the thing about it is, we were talking about this earlier, he does everything right.
Everything right.
He's right there to make the play. And he just doesn't locate the ball. It's like he does all the hard work, the stuff that makes him a first-round draft pick out of Ohio State, and then right when the ball gets there, he panics and then holds him because that's the only thing he knows how to do.
It's still a sign of youth, because one of the things you do as a veteran, you start to realize, how are these refs calling the game? It's kind of like in pickup basketball. If they're going to call every hand check, you know, all right, I just can't put my hands on them. Some refs will let you go with the hand battles. If it's back and forth, he'll kind of learn that trick of the trade. But I really feel like this secondary, they balled out. I mean, aside from the penalties that Eli Apple had, and he cost them a number of different yards with that, yeah. Janoris Jenkins, I mean, for a guy who didn't really practice all week, he went out there and made some big pass breakups. Landon Collins is all over the field. When you could hold Carson Wentz to 176 yards passing, he's coming off of back-to-back 300-yard passing games. This offense of the Eagles is based on this quick passing offense. They did a great job disrupting him. I would have never thought that the Eagles would rush for 193 yards, right. So that was a problem. And I think the Giants are going to look at that. They missed B.J. Goodson out there. He's the thumper. He's the downhill big linebacker. Keenan Robinson did a good job filling in. But they really attacked their nickel defense, and you could see it. LeGarrette Blount, when he got going, it was because they had six guys in the box, and they just said, hey, look, we're going to run the ball on you until you bring that safety down in there. Now you put everybody one-on-one on the outside.
Well, you mentioned the secondary, Landon Collins. He was second behind Keenan Robinson with 9 tackles.
And had the biggest play of the game, really, the forced fumble on Zach Ertz.
Right.
They were able to go right back down and score a touchdown off of that. So LC's on his way to another Pro Bowl.
All right, we got to hit our final segment here on Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz. Stay with us. We'll wrap up this 27-24 loss for the New York Giants right after the break. The next four games for the New York Giants headed into the bye week. Next week, it's again on the road playing Tampa. Then back at home playing the Chargers, back on the road, the Broncos and the Seahawks. Not to mention, this team is now 0-3. It does not get any easier from here on out, and the numbers will tell you. Three of the last 132 teams that have played since 1990, only three of them have made the postseason, the last being the Bills in 1998. So the big question here is, how does this team make the postseason, Sean O'Hara?
Well, they first just got to focus on getting a win. And, you know, the offense finally showed up in the fourth quarter. You can't wait and wallow around for three quarters and expect to just turn it on. Again, it was Odell Beckham that had to spark this offense. He was really the energizer bunny for them. They've got to find a way to get it going early on and help this defense out. The defense was on the field for, if it seemed like, the entire first half. And I think they've got to help their defense out. Give them a chance. Let them go out there with some fresh legs and not have to get worn out in the run game. You know, Tampa's going to – it's going to be hot, so they got to get ready for that.
I think, it's going to come down to seeing all three phases of the game come together. We have yet to see that this season. Special teams, we're not getting very much at all from the special teams. Yeah. We don't even really speak about special team units. We need guys to really get that going. As far as not keeping the defense on the field for so long, allowing those guys to be a little bit more fresh and see if they can take advantage and create more opportunities, turnovers, for more opportunities for the offense to put more points on the board. Offensively, I've always been a believer. It starts with Odell Beckham. Last year, when you look at all the big plays and the games that they've won in close margins, it was because of Odell Beckham. Get the guy the ball, get him the ball early, and let him do what he does best.
Absolutely. Get Odell Beckham the ball. But also, what helps Odell Beckham and helps the offensive line is to run the ball consistently. Either it's Orleans Darkwa or either it's Perkins, we need a back that can get the ball and hit the hole.
Yeah.
Because if they can do that, that will allow everything on the offense to open up. You saw the effect that it had, and they only rushed for 40-some yards today. And that was all mostly in the fourth quarter. If you imagine if they can stretch that out over the entire game, you would have an offense that looks competent. Right now, they look very helter-skelter because of the fact that they don't have a consistent run game and they don't get their offensive line firing out, having their placing their physical prowess over the defensive line.
I thought the way that the offense started the game with the up-tempo, they need to go back to that. And I would have liked to have seen them sprinkle that out a little bit more throughout the game. Defensively, you know, obviously we're all going to be watching Olivia Vernon to see what his health looks like, but JPP was really a non-factor in this game. And then when you take OV off the field, where's that next pass rusher? Mm-hmm. You know, whether it's Kerry Wynn or Romeo Okwara, somebody else has got to step up. We saw Devon Kennard get a sack in there coming off the edge, but he's really a linebacker playing defensive end. Mm-hmm. This is where the depth of the D-line is really going to have to show up. And, you know, they're going to need that third pass rusher to kind of step up if you want to slow down Jameis Winston.
Well, I think that's exactly it. When you're talking about pass rushing, we need more from the inside push also. More from Brumley, more from Harrison, more from
Tomlinson.
We need more from those guys. And I think, you know, they started the game doing exceptionally well, and somehow it just seemed like maybe they ran out of gas, you know, going down the backstretch. But I believe, once again, we have to clog up that middle a little bit more to stop the run. It seems like the run is bleeding the defense a little bit too much this year. And get back to the basics.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. The basics, and the basic today that would have been the ultimate, would have made this game, set it overtime dramatically, was the fact that, you know, Brad Wigg on that punt, for a 28-yard punt, need to get that out there. 48-yard punt, 38-yard punt, that's the 10 extra yards like we were talking about. That 61-yarder becomes a 71-yarder, and it's we're in overtime right now, seeing what might happen.
When we could have all been eating some Baconator fries. if they take the points, kick the field goal,
he took away our Baconators.
And punt the ball.
He's talking about our Wendy's sponsor. Well, next week it doesn't get any easier. Jameis Winston, Mike Evans, DeSean Jackson, they will head down to play Bay Buccaneers. Yeah, Gerald McCoy, defensive tackle, right there. That is next Sunday, October 1st, 4 or 5 late start. Right after, you can bet to see us here on Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz. That is all we got today. I'm Courtney Fallon. For Sean O'Hara, Antrell Roll, Amani Toomer. We'll see you next week.